At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Garden Variety, a horticulture podcast from Iowa Public Radio and Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. I'm Charity Nebbe. As the weather warms up and insects emerge, you might find yourself with some unwanted house guests. Guests like box elder bugs, brown marmorated stink bugs, spiders, and other creepy crawlies. This hour, we'll get some professional advice on how to cope with these accidental home invaders. Entomologist Zach Shum is here. He is director of the Iowa State University Plant and Insect Diagnostic Clinic. Hello, Zach.
Good morning, Charity. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. And it does feel like every spring when things get warm, all of a sudden insects appear out of nowhere. And of course, they're not appearing out of nowhere. But where are they coming from and how do they arrive so quickly?
Yeah, well, a lot of times when, I mean, we were talking about the ones that you mentioned, box elder bugs, stink bugs of any kind, usually what they're doing is overwintering inside our homes. So they're trying to find refuge for the winter. And as soon as it gets really warm, you know, up in that attic space or behind, you know, in crawl spaces, behind walls even, as soon as it gets warm, they're going to have somewhere to go or they're going to start to become active. And a lot of times they just find their way inside. And then things just come from outside and sneak through our, you know, gaps in windows and doors and all that kind of stuff. So they can come from everywhere.
Why do they want to get inside? I mean, I don't want you to try to read their minds, but it doesn't seem like it's the best environment for most insects. What leads them there?
A lot of times it's completely accidental. I mean, so in the fall, when these insects are looking for a place to overwinter, they're going to find wherever is appropriate for them. You know, we've conveniently placed our homes and buildings and whatnot right in the middle of insect habitat. I mean, humans couldn't probably survive in Iowa winters without any sort of shelter, so the insects are really doing the same thing we're doing. And, you know, in the spring, like if they emerge outside and they just accidentally come inside, you know, they're not trying to do that. They're probably just looking for something, shelter, food, you know, something like that, and just accidentally coming inside and then not being able to find their way out.
Well, and so much of what they're looking for is not going to be found inside. So when an insect finds their way into a home, is that bad for them? Are they often stuck there and can't find the food that they need?
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that it is. Box elder bugs have nothing to feed on inside the house, you know, but they do really like, again, just overwintering inside our structures. But if they can't find their way outside to where their food is, then that is really bad for them. I mean, most of the time when these insects find their way indoors and don't make it out quickly, they're probably just going to die inside. So not good for them, other than during the winter when they can stay a little bit warmer, for sure.
So when these insects show up inside your house, I mean, you don't want us to shriek, probably. We can remain calm, but how should we respond?
I mean, for me, like, I just ignore them. That's all I do. You know, if they're really getting annoying or, you know, I look on my windowsill and there's a bunch of dead insects on it, I just vacuum them up and move on. I think there's a lot of energy that goes into, like, oh, I should probably spray something or call a pest control company. And to me, like, a lot of that just seems like some wasted money. Most of them are going to try to find their way out. And if they don't, they're probably just going to die. So, you know, you can just wait it out. I mean, this tends to be a spring thing and it tends to be a fall thing. In the spring, once it gets warm, they emerge and start to become active and try to find their way out. In the fall, they're trying to find someplace warm for the winter and find their way in. So it's just, you know, periodic things. If you just wait it out, the issue is probably going to go away pretty quickly if you just give it some time. So stay calm, just ignore it. There are some management things that are available, but a lot of it tends to be seal up your house better so they can't get in next year. I think for me personally, in 99% of situations, chemical use is kind of a waste of money. I've never actually once recommended it to anybody for these typical accidental invaders.
All right. And of course, chemical use, you're also living in that space as well. How about relocation? That's something that could be nice to the insects.
Yeah, well, this is something I think about all the time because I'm always inside in the middle of winter and, you know, a couple of stink bugs will become active and I'll go grab it and I'm about to throw it outside. And I'm like, wait a minute, it's like 30 degrees outside. It's probably just going to die if I throw it outside too. I just let them be. Like, they'll eventually go away at some point. So, you know, throwing them outside can be problematic and kill the insect too, but obviously not really a huge deal for, you know, there's plenty of box elder bugs to go around. But yeah, I mean, outside could be helpful if it's a little bit warmer. No harm in doing that. But if it is cold, they will probably die outside too. So either way, they're in bed. They have a lot of bad luck coming their way.
We mentioned the brown marmorated stink bug, which is an invasive species. Do you respond differently if it's an invasive species in your home?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I guess, so I actually did my master's research on brown marmorated stink bugs. So I feel like they're kind of just a part of my whole entire life at this point. I probably approach them differently than most people. I personally don't really approach them differently at this point. I mean, brown marmorated stink bug is never going to vanish from the landscape. It's here to stay. So me killing one or throwing it outside, it's not going to make a difference in anything really. But you can indeed say that it is a non-native species. You can just, you know, kill it, put it in the freezer if you want to kill it, throw it outside if it's going to die quickly. Nothing wrong with doing that with brown marmorated stink bug. I still usually ignore them. Sometimes I even feed them. This is a weird entomologist thing, but I'll be like cooking dinner and then one will just like plop down from the ceiling or the wall or something. And if I'm like cutting up a vegetable, I'll just kind of give it to the stink bug. And then I forget about it. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh, shoot, there was a stink bug. Where is it? I have no idea.
But presumably I guarantee you, I'm probably at some point.
At some point, yeah. But I would imagine that I'm the only person listening that does that. And I'm okay with it.
All right. How stinky are brown marmorated stink bugs? Like, if they get squished, are you going to have an unpleasant experience in your home?
I don't think so. Everyone has mixed opinions on this. Some people think it smells really, really bad. Other people don't really mind. I guess I've been conditioned to not care about the smell. They just smell kind of earthy and herby almost. Some people really don't like that. I think I've been conditioned. Every stink bug smells a little bit different too. And I've worked with probably 20 or 30 species of stink bugs. And so I'm kind of like fascinated by the different odors that they can give off. But some people definitely don't like it. But if you don't disturb them, they have no reason to release any of that odor. So if you just ignore them, your problem's kind of, it's not going to exist.
So, I mean, we've talked about box elder bugs, brown marmorated stink bugs, multicolored Asian lady beetle. That's another one of these insects that shows up in our house quite a lot. And none of those insects are going to hurt us in any way. Let's talk about spiders, because I know spiders make a lot of people really uncomfortable. And there's a lot of fear of spiders as well. So when there are spiders in your home, what kind of thought process should you go through?
I mean, just like all the other ones, I would say to just, you know, take a deep breath, relax. It's probably going to be fine. We don't really have, I would say, many medically significant spiders in the state of Iowa. And I mean, we do have, so brown recluse spider, the range does extend into sort of central Iowa. They're still very, very uncommon. You know, black widow spiders, you can find them in Iowa in some parts, but they're very, very uncommon. Other than that, there aren't really any medical concerns related to spiders. And even going back to brown recluse and black widow spiders, they tend to be very docile. I pick them up when I find them. I don't recommend anybody listening just does that. I have a little more experience with them. But the vast majority of spiders and the ones that we see in our homes pose no medical significance to us. You know, people can still have allergic reactions or different reactions to their bites, but that's also very uncommon. You know, for me personally, I just leave the spiders be. If it's warm outside, I'll put them outside where they have a little bit more access to food. But you can just kind of ignore them. I mean, there's, you know, again, if you know that you react to bites of insects a little bit differently, sure. But it's so, so uncommon to receive bites from spiders that are inside the home.
Why might a spider, right? Why might a spider bite you? What kinds of situations?
Yeah, so let's, a very, very common situation is if a spider ends up finding some refuge in a shoe or something like that and just accidentally finds its way in, and it's like, oh, it's dark and cozy in here. And then you put your foot in your shoe in the morning and it, you know, gets crunched up against the side of your shoe and is threatened. And then it could most certainly bite. So it's those accidental situations where they feel threatened, or if you try to, you know, squeeze them, or if you accidentally step on them or near, you know, something like that. So there's really not many aggressive spiders. I've never found an aggressive spider in the entire United States. I pick them up and I've never had an issue. I've never been bitten, but it's those accidental things.
And now I'm a big proponent of the cup and then paper method to remove an insect from my home. I know that spiders make a lot of people really uncomfortable and people have genuine fear of spiders. Mm-hmm. So do you have a recommendation for people who think, okay, I've been squishing spiders my whole life. I don't want to do that anymore. How do I remove them from my living space?
Sure. I mean, the cup method is a really good one. So if you just, especially if you have like a clear cup of some kind, so you can actually see where that spider is in the cup. If you just place the cup over top of the spider and you slide a sheet of paper or maybe like a thin sheet of cardboard or something, you just, place the cup over the spider. You slowly slide that piece of paper underneath the opening of that cup. And eventually you're going to have a spider inside the cup that can't escape because there's a piece of paper or cardboard sitting over top of it. And then you can just take that outside and, release it. And you can, even if you're really scared, you can just throw it. The spider will probably be fine. Don't throw the cup, but you can just kind of fling the spider out of it onto a plant. The spider will probably be okay. So the cup method is one of my favorites. I mean, personally for me, I just pick them up. But I don't recommend people just pick up random spiders because you can have allergic reactions. And bites, actually, a lot of people, if they do get accidentally bitten, if they do have reactions to it, it tends to be bacterial infections from an unclean bite wound rather than from the venom itself. So, again, don't just randomly pick up spiders if you are fearful. Use the cup method. It's a piece of cake.
All right. Now, there's another kind of insect that we haven't mentioned, and we're going to run out of time. But ants do come into our homes in a purposeful way because they enjoy the things that we leave laying around or the traces of whatever it is that they'd like to eat. How do you cope with ants that come into your home?
That is a, we could have two whole segments on that because it depends on the type of ant. Some of them do come inside accidentally. There are also some that like to actually take refuge either in the house or are just taking advantage of resources in the house like food. So it really depends on the type of ant. And I would have to know exactly what species of ant to give some particular advice because every ant in the house is managed a little bit differently. You know, is this a carpenter ant or is this just something that is feeding on some of our table scraps or some food that spilled in the back of the pantry.
All right. So we'll talk about those purposeful insect invaders another day.
Yeah, sure. That sounds great.
Entomologist Zach Shum. He is director of the Iowa State University Plant and Insect Diagnostic Clinic. For more gardening information and tips, you can subscribe to our Garden Variety newsletter. Find out more at iowapublicradio.org/garden. I'm Charity Nebbe. Garden Variety is a production of Iowa Public Radio and Iowa State University Extension. It's produced by me, Aaron Style, Caitlin Troutman, and the Iowa Public Radio talk show team. For more garden goodness, please subscribe to our Garden Variety newsletter. Just go to iowapublicradio.org/garden. I'm Charity Nebbe. See you next time.